When the thousands of people boarded the Titanic, they never realized that they were going to face perilous times. The Titanic made a statement. Newspapers that even God couldn't sink her. I don't believe that God saw that and sank the ship, but I do believe that the Titanic was ill-equipped for the voyage. And recently they have discovered that the bolts or the things that hold the plates together were made of an inferior metal. The lead and the steel back then, the combination, they wouldn't even use that today. It was so inferior. And so what happened is they're traveling across, the water was so cold that it made those rivets brittle. And so when they struck the iceberg, many of those rivets broke, and of course you know the rest. You know, it's really important as a believer to make sure that we are building right. To make sure that the journey we are going on is going to be completed. And you know, it doesn't matter how luxurious the ship was, it still was subject to elements that were beyond its capability. You know, the world today and its philosophies and systems is like that cold water. It makes our life brittle, and we're like that ship. But guess what? As a believer, Jesus is not going to let you sink. And the reason he's not going to let you, because he wants to meet you face to face. Amen. I believe we're in the last hour. I believe we are close to his coming. And I believe that God wants us ready. Amen. I love the scripture of Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven. My Father only. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, for your anointing. We come to your banqueting table and feed us. Lord, just cause us to be ready stewards of your coming. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
The question is, are we ready? Jesus was very clear. No man knows the hour. I remember in 1988, a man said that Jesus was coming this year. He never came. I remember the Jehovah's Witnesses I studied in high school. They said Jesus came in 1918, but he came invisible. Well, that's not what he said. He said, I'm coming back how I went up. You're going to see me. I don't think any of us can conjure on the screen of our imagination what that moment's going to be like. He's not coming back as the carpenter. He's not coming back as the tired healer. He's not coming back to break bread. I don't think we can really yet. We have Revelation in John's description of him. But to think about his hair full of glory, glorious white, his eyes, flames of fire. It's just amazing to me that the same Jesus that died for me is coming back as a mighty king. You know, when you're at a football game and your team scores, you shout. Amen? But the other team's not shouting, they're upset. So it will be at the coming of the Lord. You will have people shouting for him, and other people will not. The Bible says they'll be wailing, gnashing of teeth. Because they will realize at that moment, they've never realized it, although the Holy Spirit tried to show them. They'll realize at that moment, they had a part of crucifying Christ. Why is that? Because their sin was placed on them and it has not been atoned because they rejected it. In fact, Men will call out for the rocks to fall on them. You might be ready, friend, but is your family ready? You might be ready, but is your loved ones? Is there ever a time we need to pray and pray for God's intervention in our lives? Revelation 1:7, behold. Let me just say about behold. Behold isn't a glimpse or a quick glance. Behold is like the wonderful roses that I tried to grow in my garden, and my wonderful neighbors try to help me grow them. And all of a sudden this beautiful rose appears, and you just stand there and behold. It's like the high priest in the Holy of Holies. All he could do is behold God. John's trying to say, listen, behold. Think about this. He comes with clouds, and every eye will see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail before because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Yeah. Almighty, we know that He's always been. He came to this earth, and He's coming again. Three things here, John says. He's coming with clouds. Everybody say clouds. The Old Testament, they had a cloud of glory. It was over His people. Protected them from the sun. He's coming with clouds of glory that will surpass what Moses saw. He's coming with clouds of glory that will surpass what Ezekiel saw as the glory went to the temple. He's coming with a cloud of glory that has never been seen or experienced on this earth. And then it says, every eye. Say, every eye. Amen. How that's going to happen, I have no idea. And it's not going to be through television either. God is going to let every eye see Him. Whether you live in Antarctica or South America. Whether you live in Bath, New York or Norfolk, Virginia. Whether you live in Petersburg, Virginia or Petersburg, Florida. Every eye is going to see Him. That's pretty remarkable. Right there is an impossibility with man. I mean, I know we have television, but not everybody's watching television at the same time. And then some will wail. You know why they wail? Because it's too late. It's too late. Interesting. There'll be nobody saved the moment Jesus appears. No one will be able to be saved because it'll just happen just so quickly it's over. They won't even have time to ask God to forgive them. This is why the church is so important. This is why prayer is so important now. To provide an atmosphere in the house of God where hearts are melted and given to Christ. It's coming with clouds. Every eye will see Him. Some will. 2 Peter 3, I love this. Looking for, 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Peter says two things. Looking for. I said looking for. And hastening. What does that mean? Is it possible for us to hasten the day of the Lord? Is it possible that God moves through His people so much? God, we want You. Come, God. That God could actually hasten His coming? Why would He come back to a people that don't really care if He doesn't come for another 50 years? career. I've got all of this. Yeah, I want you to come, but not now. But what if God had all the believers of the world say, Lord, come now? Is that hastening his coming? Peter said, looking forward. On the Titanic, back to that Titanic, what I've researched, and believe me, I love history, I have read, I've watched videos, I've seen this, that the binoculars that they needed in the crow's nest were not there, and when they finally got them, it was too late. They weren't looking for icebergs. And so, it happened. Now, I don't know, I've watched all the Titanic movies. I like the ones back in 1959, A Night to Remember. I like that better than the modern ones. But back there, it was very evident that once they hit the iceberg, people were in a panic. You know, we don't have to live our lives in a panic. We don't have to live our lives because nations are rising against nations. We don't have to live our lives because it seems to be pressure everywhere. Because I'm looking for his coming. Well, Pastor, is that escapism? You call what you want to, honey. But I know this, God created you for himself. God created you for himself. God created the fish, the birds, but they're not made in God's image. You're made in the image of love, the Bible says. So God wants us to desire that day. Prepare for that day. Everybody say prepare. Preparation is everything. How many have ever prepared something on the grill and it didn't turn out right? I did just a little while ago, and I realized I hadn't prepared enough. How many have ever run into a situation where you wish to God you could go back and have more preparation for it? That's why experience worketh patience. Patience, hope. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hope. On our hearts. Love is more powerful than panic. If I'd have been on that Titanic, man, I would have got me in a room and I'd been on my knees saying, God, I can't get in the lifeboat, but you know what? You can save me somehow. Because you're a very present help in time of trouble. God, you can show me. Because the God of the universe is greater than a Titanic and greater than an iceberg and greater than this panic. God, show me, help me to get off. Do you think God would have answered that prayer? Of course he would have. And when you and I get pressed in by life and pressure, we can call up to our Father and say, oh, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the Bride come to the place where they say, come, Lord. Yes, you've blessed me. Yes, I've done this. And oh, it means nothing without you. We want to hasten the coming of the Lord. If we want to hasten the harvest coming in. If you want to hasten your place in the body of Christ and hasten what God has for you. Let's get our eyes off us and onto him. Who died for us. Desire that day. Prepare for that day. Luke 12:40. Be therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Wowzer. He's coming when you don't think he's coming. Like a thief in the night. He's coming when everyone is saying, peace, peace. He's coming when everything isn't perfect in your life. He's coming when every bill's not paid and your car's not running right, and you've got some aches and pains in your body, and birthitis, and arthritis, and minditis. And he's coming because, you know what? He's not waiting for everything to be perfect. He's going to come when the Father says, now, go get it. And if you and I can believe that as much as you love and miss Jesus, that Jesus loves and misses you, not to be in his immediate presence. go to the psalmist Solomon. By night I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him and I couldn't find him. What did she do? She got off her bed and went looking for him. Find him. I guarantee you those believers over in the Ukraine that I ministered to for 3 months are off their bed looking for him. I guarantee you they're looking for Jesus. I appreciate the prayer. I guarantee you they're not thinking about their next car or their next entertainment. I guarantee you they're looking for him whom their soul loveth. He said, I'm not going to leave you. And the Bible says, what are we hanging on to? Our reputation. Our ministry. Our church. Our car. Whether people like me or accept me. Whether people just, what am I hanging on to? We're not ready to meet it till the only thing we hold on to is him. I'm not ready. Whether I'm a believer, whether I shout, whether I don't, whether I give, whether I don't, until I can say, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. Oh, daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, the daughters of Jerusalem were Israelites, but they weren't holding on to the bridegroom. In fact, they said, well, what is your bridegroom better than anyone else? Why is he better than Buddha and Muhammad and all of them? Why is he better than yoga, which comes from Buddhism, by the way? Why is he any better than religion? Or why isn't he any better than New Age? Who, you know, I'm going to tell you why, honey. Because he's coming on a cloud. That's why. Because he hung for 6 hours on a cross for your sin and my sin. The Romans didn't crucify Jesus. And the Jews didn't crucify Jesus. I crucified. My sins crucified Christ. Because all of our sins were placed on him. And if I don't believe that, Paul said, you know, we've all sinned. We've all had our sin placed on Jesus. So when I see him, I'm going to, Jesus, how could you? Take it, my sin. I can't. It's such wonderful love. It's just amazing love because my sins were nailed on that cross with you. Many millions don't know that, I believe. And see, because I acknowledge that, God says, I will save you. That acknowledgement, if we confess that Jesus Christ died and rose the third day. That's how we're saved with faith. Everybody say, be ready.
Be ready.
Now, how many have ever had someone show up to your house? You haven't done the dishes, haven't vacuumed, laundry everywhere. We're here. I heard a story from Jesse DePlantis one time. He was preaching somewhere years ago. If you're ever down our way, just come. You know, we'll see you for a few days. A month later, his family of four shows up. Oh, we're here! He said, never said that again. Gonna be ready. Now, with my partner and my loving wife, if we're gonna have somebody over, it's 2 or 3 hour Get ready. Spiritually, we got to get ready. Let God clean up some things. Let Him get rid of the old wine skins, the old hard thing. This is the way we used to do it. It's, okay, fine. It worked then. It's not working now. They used to have tube amplifiers. Some of those Marshall amplifiers, JVC 100 watt, 1960, worth like $8,000 today. But then they went to transistors. Well, the transistors were good, but they don't produce the kind of distortion and sustain as the tubes. So then they went to, you know, microchips and all this, and then they kind of went, but you know, what worked back then might not work. Now, how do you know they couldn't take 5 tons of tube amplifiers and radios up to going to the moon? I'm sure there was some. So what we want to do today is we want to be ready, current, and relevant. Because there's so many not ready. Jesus said to the churches in Revelation, He said, "Behold, I come quickly. The Spirit and the Bride say, come." It's the last hour. Wow. How long God's been waiting to take us home? How many never thought you'd get married and you just had to wait? Am I the only one? Finally got married. How many thought I'd never get that degree? You got that degree. How many thought you'd never get that house? You finally got that house. How many, Lord, I've never been recognized. That God recognizes you. You need patience under the coming of the Lord. Because it is the final hour. And in that video, it shows you the contradiction of what the world's going to be like compared to the kingdom of God. It shows you that even though we're waiting for Him, there's going to be great contradiction that seems more relevant to people than the kingdom of God does. 2 Timothy points it out. The last days, men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud. Jesus also said, like the days of Noah, so shall be before the days of the Son of Man. And what was that? The biggest thing was violence over the earth. But He said, lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing nigh. As Christian begins to come, as your pastors, primarily, our anointing is to get you prepared to meet Jesus. All the other things are secondary. Because if we fail in that, we have failed. It's not just to pray for you to be blessed. It's a preparation. Isaiah says, prepare a highway for the coming of the Lord. That highway, you need to take stones out. How many have a few stones? Well, a few hearts. On the highway, you need to make sure you're going in the right direction. In a highway, there might be some mountains. There might be a river you have to build across. But you know, our Lord Jesus says this. He's not unrighteous to forget your work. Labor of love. You're not going to forget it. So Paul said, He's coming with a shout. Zechariah says He sings over you. Psalm 139:17, how precious are His thoughts. You see One of the reasons we don't have the desire to see him is we don't know how much he really desires to see us. If you knew how much he longed to embrace you, if we really understood that he's not angry with you, if we really knew that the tears of love, of compassion he saw when his own people were going to be surrounded by Jerusalem, that his heart broke, if we really understood his heart towards us, then the religious and the judgments of this world and the striving against our identity would dissolve, because the only one that really matters is Jesus. Of all the nations I have gone and preached the gospel, in India, 15,000 people. I remember I asked the guy, the pastor and associate, to build me a cross. He built me a kind of a, wasn't real heavy. And I was preaching at the cross. People sat for 3 days carrying that cross. Preacher, I said, Jesus died for every man. Jesus died for every woman here tonight. He carried that cross. He wept over Jerusalem, but he didn't give up. He kept going down the Via Dolorosa. When men mocked him, he kept carrying the cross. Four 400 people ran to the altar. I was down like there. They pulled me back up. They would have trampled me. Ran to the altar. The power of God's coming back to this church. Amen. He hung there for you. He hung there for me. Because he said, I'm going to embrace you. You're going to look me in the eyes. There'll be joy unspeakable. And full of glory. The moment he breaks the sky, the trumpet sounds. Here you come. On white horses. Look at the angels. Look at the saints of old coming. Oh, we don't want to miss it. It's all true. He said it was true. But now's the time to believe it and to prepare us. We'll talk about preparation a little more, some of the services to come. How do I know I'm prepared? What's my score? Am I behind? Am I ahead? Am I? Should be, not that it's by works. Have I come to the fountain opened up by Emmanuel's veins? Have I come there and been cleansed from things that are hindering? Have I gone beyond my limitations of my own perspective of my identity and began to reach out like Christ? Then I put away the Pharisee and the Sadducee and the judge and the jury and become meek and mild. Jesus said, take my yoke upon me. Learn this. For I'm meek, lowly in heart. Moses, the meekest man on the face of the earth. Miriam and Aaron attacked him because he married a woman of another race. They didn't like him. Moses didn't go after them, which is surprising because that was his relatives. Usually we'll go after our relative. He just stood back. You don't have to avenge. step back. God is the avenger. Moses stood, went back, in his meekness, then God stepped in. This is what I would have said if I was God. Look at Miriam, Aaron. There's only one race, the human race. I created everyone. You have no right to judge him for who he's married. And I'm going to show you how wrong you were, because what you've sown, Miriam, is the seed of prejudice and racism. And I'm going to show you, Miriam, for generations to come, how I hate it. She was smitten with leprosy. Even there, Pastor Deb, Moses prayed for her. Let her stay out for a while. You know what I love about this church? We have many different races, ethnos. That's how heaven is going. He that hateth his brother has no eternal life. People could go to church, but if they hate or prejudice, they have no eternal life. Last hour is here. We stand up this morning.